Hey, this is Eric from Catching Light.
Hey, this is Hemp.
Hey, this is Glenn.
Hi, I'm Steve-O.
Hey, this is Drew Hines with Hindsight Imagery.
This is Matt Callahan at Digimatty Photographic Services.
Hey, this is Jason, and welcome to Tales from the Pit. Hello and welcome to Tales from the Pit, where we go behind the lens for the entertainment world and the creative people involved. Today is our part two with photographer Matt Kennedy. We hope you enjoy the episode. So moving forward, I mean, we're starting to get up into the big name. I mean, these are all big names, but we're talking about the LucasArts and Marvel and all that stuff. But Fate of the Furious, you were still photographer on Fate of the Furious, which is 2017, right?
When it was released anyways.
I think 2016 when we shot it. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. And that's the one where, no, wait a minute.
No, Paul passed away on the seven.
So, and you know, that's just another huge, I'm assuming, big budget, you know, explosions everywhere and all that stuff.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything about that one that stands out?
Well, we got to go to Cuba. That was pretty sweet. Yeah, Cuba was great. And that was like another movie in itself, because there's no infrastructure for filmmaking in Cuba. Certainly not on that level. So, you know, we had everything in Havana. I mean, we had, you know, picture cars, the motorcycles, we had camera bikes, helicopters with cameras, pursuit arms, any kind of mobile way to move a camera for like high speed car chases we had down there. And, you know, we had first and second unit there. I mean, it was nuts. And certainly nobody in Cuba had ever seen anything like that, but you know, they had to barge everything down.
Yeah.
You know, so, it was crazy. So that was probably the coolest part of that movie, was going to Cuba.
Are you traveling with the full team, or are you just go like, I got to be there on certain dates, you just go whenever? Or is it the whole crew travels together?
Yeah, the whole crew travels together usually. Yeah. So I think we chartered a plane for that one, just because getting in and out of Cuba, at least going, when we were done in Cuba, we went to Atlanta to finish the movie for like another 10 or 15 weeks. I don't know, whatever. So the whole crew traveled back on a charter.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That was like a lot of fun. I mean, you know, being able to be involved with the entertainment world and all that exciting stuff and doing what you love, specifically, you know, photography, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It can be, for sure.
I'm sure it's very tiring also.
It's tiring, and it's I try to stay as grounded as I can. It's certainly not as glamorous as a lot of people think it is. I don't think until you're in it, you really understand, you know,
it's pretty
fun. And I try to remind myself that it's still interesting to people that don't do it. And, you know, I guess it's just that whole mystique and glamour about movies, you know, it's always been there, I think, for people. So,
yeah.
No.
Is there, I mean, you've done a lot of television shows, Picard and stuff like that. Is there any major difference from television versus feature films for you?
Yeah. I mean, I never wanted to do television. It's just a grind, and they don't actually carry a photographer for the entire show. I mean, they do, but you're not there every day at production.
Right.
So a lot of times a photographer will come out like 1 or 2 days an episode.
Yeah.
And so there's people that solely make a living at shooting television. So they'll, you know, Monday, Tuesday, they'll do this show. And then, you know, Thursday, Friday, they'll do this show. And that, I just don't like that. I like to be embedded for the whole thing, to where the cast is comfortable with you and the crew is comfortable with you.
Yeah.
And yeah, besides definitely, like rates and hours, then yeah, TV's, it's less, I guess. It's lower than features.
Yep.
But I'd like to work on a movie for 3 to 6 months and then take some time off, you know?
Yep.
So
yeah, that's a lot of, that's cool. How does that, it's specifically with your family, I mean, you mentioned you have kids and stuff. How does this impact your family, or how does that dynamic work with you traveling and stuff like that?
Well, it's tough. I mean, I have a 20-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son now, so they don't know any different. I mean, they've been coming to set since they were like two.
Yep.
I think now it's probably harder on me to go away. Mm-hmm. They have their lives, you know, their school, their jobs, their girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, all their friends. So, but we try to make a point that they come out on every location job that I do at some point, you know, and we can hang out. And if it's close enough and it's long enough, then, you know, I'll try to come home every once in a while when I can over a weekend or something like that. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, my wife was in the industry before we met and she hated it.
Yeah.
She hated it, but she understands it. So that's kind of crucial. And so we kind of made that conscious choice, you know, when we had kids that, you know, she would be the one to stick around, you know, and I would travel. And I tried not to travel as much when they were little, you know?
Yeah.
And there was a lot more work in LA then. So it was easier to stay home. You know, you weren't missing out on a lot of stuff, and now it's just all over the place. So.
Yeah. And I think Atlanta is a pretty hot spot right now.
It is. And they, you know, like they have wanderlust. I mean, my kids, I don't know, they've been to like 20 countries, you know, it's like they love to travel, you know, so they love it. So no matter, although they do say, can I get a job somewhere other than Atlanta? Cause they're tired of going to Atlanta, but you know, it's, they got to go to New England this last fall. So that was fun. You know, they like,
What part of New England?
We're in Rhode Island. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. I'm in Portland, Maine right now.
Yeah. You're in Maine. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
A lot of snow right now.
Not a lot, but nope. Man, today was the coldest day since 2018. So it was a cold one today. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. I today's the day I'd like to be in Atlanta. That's for sure.
Yeah. I hear you.
So you've got all these cool stuff that you've done. I mean, really, really cool stuff. And then you get these major, major Marvel. How do you get involved with the Marvel stuff? First of all,
that's a good question. I think my first introduction was Agent Carter. It was a TV show.
Oh, really? Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So I was hired to do a couple episodes of that. And then, it just kind of, that kind of gets your foot in the door. And then, so they know your name. They know who you are. And then I think, well, I guess Black Panther was probably the next thing, but I had worked with Chadwick on a prior movie.
Oh, you did. Okay.
And, and so we had kind of a nice relationship. He was a great guy. And, the kind of the moons just aligned on that. Marvel wanted to try me on a movie, and I had worked with Chad before, so that just kind of lined up on that one.
Wow. And then, you know, obviously rest in peace, Chad. I mean,
he was one of the best. Yeah.
Yeah. I love his work.
Yeah.
And it was very shocking, obviously.
Yeah.
But so you start with Black Panther, and that's, I mean, I'm assuming, I mean, if I remember correctly, that was like one of the biggest Marvel movies up to that, went on that release or something crazy. Like they had some record numbers or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was probably a $1 billion movie when it was all said and done. Yeah.
Right.
And then I think the Avengers Endgame and Infinity Wars, all that came out and kind of topped it. But yeah, I mean, it was a great project. It was a great cast. We all kind of knew we were doing something that nobody had ever seen before. And it was different than any other Marvel film. And I think like any kind of film, it's all about timing, you know, I think it just hit at the right time socially and politically, and just, you know, it just kind of touched on so many different places,
yep,
you know, and people loved it. And, it was really cool to be a part of that first one. Yeah.
And you had mentioned that the Marvel and the LucasArts, they have a very different workflow. Did you have to kind of adjust how you normally did stuff to meet their needs or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, I would just, the only adjustment was kind of probably the editing process. They just want it quicker, you know, and even it really depends on the project. And I know the security people at Marvel. And so, you know, they're a little less militant now, I guess, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we'll get you a drive every 3 days or something like that. And they trust you, you know, and
sure,
obviously they wouldn't keep calling you if that wasn't the case, but
yeah,
there really wasn't much of an adjustment as far as how you shoot and operate and things like that. So
that's awesome. I mean,
yeah,
that was such a great movie. And
that
then
was
fun. Captain Marvel was the next one, it looks like.
Yeah, I did the second unit on that. So just, yep. You know, there was a whole sequence with Bree on the train. So I did that part of it. So
nice.
Yeah.
So are you actually in any of the movies? Do they have you as like in background or anything like that, extras?
Not on purpose anyway. I don't think. Yeah. No, not so far. I've been asked a couple times to be on camera as like a photographer, a wedding photographer. Like,
right.
I don't know. I'm behind the camera for a reason.
Right.
Maybe one of these days, who knows? Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, those are major movies. I'm just assuming that you having a Marvel movie on your resume can kind of give you a lot more, you know,
relief
or something. I mean,
I'm
really impressed.
People say that, and I don't know if it matters or not. Quite honestly, really? I think it certainly matters with Marvel because then, you know, obviously you did Panther and Captain Marvel, and then, you know, I did No Way Home. So that
right.
was, well, you're already part of the Marvel family, blah, blah, blah. And then we did, you know, LA stuff on Doctor Strange. And then, so it helps internally like that. But I honestly think after Black Panther came out, I don't think anybody called me for like 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, what the hell, man? I have like the biggest movie out, and, you know, and I'm kind of going through that now. Like, nobody's called me after Spider-Man. So it's, I don't know if it makes a difference. I'm sure it does at some point. I think it kind of solidifies that, you know, you can do big budget movies. You can work with huge ensemble casts.
Right.
You know, obviously if they're happy with the content and the key art and the posters and whatever you did for that project, then yes, I think somebody somewhere will see that, and, you know, it may be the thing that puts you ahead of the other guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I try to treat every job as like it's my last one, and I'm kind of shocked when people still call me for jobs. I don't want to be that guy, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I did this, but you know, you should be calling me because I don't know. It's just, you can, this business will, it'll drop you as quickly as it puts you up, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. You gotta be, you know, humble and respectful and everything. And, you know, I just think your work is so impressive. You know, all of the stuff you've done, and I haven't even talked about your actual physical photos. I mean, you've got some awesome, awesome photos, not just of cool people doing cool things, but they're well shot. Well, your composition, all that stuff is really, really cool.
I
think you got some really, really awesome stuff.
I try.
Now, well, yeah, obviously you're doing it well. So I think that's great. So you've done, as you just said, the Spider-Man No Way Home, which just came out, what, a couple months ago, whatever it was.
It's been about a month, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Again, an amazing movie. So stuff like that, you're shooting some stuff that like everybody is waiting for. Are you, and you know, I know you can't say things, but are you able to view the story and stuff like that? So you're like, holy cow, this is going to blow everyone's mind or anything like that? Or are you just kind of just day by day, like, I don't know what the heck's going on here?
Well, so that one, I didn't get to read the script. Marvel stuff, you don't usually get to read the script.
Right.
I mean, they only let a handful of people actually read it. But we kind of, you know, by talking to people on set, you kind of figure out what's going on. We know who's in it, obviously, because, you know, I have to work with them and photograph them. So, yeah, on that one, there were a lot of big spoilers. And obviously, you know, you're not telling anybody. And, you know, I mean, the amount of NDAs we have to sign, you know, and especially being someone, one of the few people on set that, you know, is capturing content, you know, they want to make sure that it's super locked down. And there were stills that we weren't even sharing with the lab, because they didn't want anybody to get a peek at what we were doing, you know? So it was really, yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see all of it. And, you know, there's so much CG added too. Like, I don't even know what the end product's going to look like for some of those scenes.
Right.
Kind of have an idea, you know, but, you know, and that's the other thing is you just kind of have to be open and kind of shoot everything. There's a, which I'm really glad they used for that film was, I mean, cause I did a whole poster shoot for that on another day aside from the unit photography. and they used some of it. But we did some really cool stuff that we'll never see the light of day. You know, it was a big bummer. But there was one poster that came out. I think it was a Russian poster. It's Tom sitting like on a ledge looking over Times Square with his back to us. And that was just in between takes. He was kind of sitting there like in the zone. You know, he's exhausted. It's a really heavy emotional scene. And he just kind of was slumped over. And I just thought it was, and it was against a blue screen. And I was like, that's such a powerful image without anything in it. And so I shot it. So that one, I was really happy to see that they used that for a poster, because I think it was probably one of the better posters that they put out for that.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the other thing. People are like, oh, you know, why do you shoot blue screen? It's, you know, there's nothing there. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know what could be there.
Right. You can do anything with that.
Yeah. So you got to capture those moments too, you know? So
are you like, are you allowed to interact with the actors or anything? Like, hey, turn your head to the left or anything like that? Or are you just strictly capturing what's happening?
Yeah. Not during a scene. No, you're obviously just a fly on a wall. But if you see something cool and you have a relationship with the actor, I mean, some actors are more open to that than others, you know? So a lot of times you're kind of, you know, doing it on the sly. And if you think there's a cool thing, or maybe if you talk to them and say, hey, this is really cool, do you mind, like, you know, holding this pose or doing this? And a lot of times some of them will do it, you know?
Yeah.
So not all of them. But, you know, and then obviously during a poster shoot, yeah, you can kind of, you pose them however you want and like that. But yeah, but to me, that's also, so some photographers, they would rather, if they can't get in on a take, they would ask for a setup. And to me, that feels really manufactured.
Yep.
I feel like the best images are during the take, because that's when they're like given their all, and that's the performance, that's the emotion, that's the action, whatever it is. They're never going to do it exactly like that for you on a setup. So if it's something the studio really wants and I can't get it, yeah, I'll ask for a setup. But I really like to capture it, you know, during a take.
Yep.
And there's some filmmakers that are like, you know, this is super heavy, like we don't want any stills during this take. And then when they're done, they're like, okay, do a take for stills. The camera will move and I'll be able to get in there, and the actor will do one take just for me.
Wow.
So it just depends. It depends on the people that you're working with, you know?
All right. So like when you talked about the poster stuff, and I don't want to say anything specifically for Spider-Man, because I know some people haven't said, I don't want to spoil anything. There's some, I mean, that's it's just so awesome what was done in that movie. But with the poster stuff, is that something that was planned ahead of time, or is it just kind of?
Oh yeah.
And I, no. Okay.
No, they're always planned. So that's not actually part of production. It's part of the studio's marketing campaign.
Right.
So they will have whatever ad agency they're working with. They'll come up with concepts. So they could have, oh man, I don't know how many concepts. They'll have a lookbook of concepts of, you know, it's artwork, basically renderings, drawings, or comps. Yeah. They want the posters possibly to be. So we'll run through those. First of all, the actors will approve, okay, I'll do that concept, that one, I won't do that one. And then they'll send me a book of lighting references, how, you know, it's how they want it lit, you know? And so we'll have all these things to work with. And then, you know, we'll usually do a pre-light day.
Are you,
we'll shoot as much as we can.
Are you lighting it yourself, or are you just letting the gaffers and all those?
No, I'm lighting it.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
So, yeah. So I'll, you know, obviously hire like a first assistant, and they'll have probably another assistant, and then we'll have a digitech. And I'm more visual than I am like strobe proficient. I know how to work with strobes, but it's completely like a different type of photography, as you well know, as far as capturing things live. So once I know how they want it lit, how I want to light it, I'll do diagrams. I'll draw them out. So actor here, I want my key here, my fill here, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I want this to be, you know, a bi-tube or a strip or whatever it is. And I'll draw it all out, and then I'll hand it to my first assistant. And like, this is our jumping off point. And then that's kind of what we do. We build it from that diagram, and then we'll just get to work, you know, with the stand-in, you know, chiseling out the way it looks. And then sometimes that's how we shoot it, and other times it completely changes on the day. It really just depends. I mean, we did some really killer stuff on Spider-Man with all the good guys and all the bad guys with a single light and a bounce.
Oh, cool.
It was just super dark and moody, and the director was into it, and they never used any of it.
I was so bummed. Are you allowed to share any of your stuff? Probably not.
No, because they own everything. So if they don't want it to see the light of day, I mean, you hope one day that it will at some point, you know, maybe they'll do a photo book or something.
Yeah.
I'm usually the last person to find out when images are released. So, you know, it's just funny because I'll see something posted. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they released that. And then I'll repost it and then it's old news.
So you could post it after it's been released, possibly.
Yeah.
Depending.
And they'll give me, a lot of times the publicity team will give me a link because they'll have a link for, you know, press kits and things like that. Like, these are the approved images, domestic release. You know, you can post these or you can share these. And it's usually the same like six images that all the entertainment magazines and websites pick up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, though. Yeah. I just my opinion, I suspect that that cool images you're talking about, because of the people in that images, I suspect it'll turn up someday.
Just I would hope so.
It's so cool. I mean, I obviously haven't seen it, but I just know who's in it, and I just think that would be an amazing shot.
Yeah. No, they were pretty fun. I was really happy with it. So
we're probably going to get into territory where you cannot talk about anything yet, but you have done work with the new Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
Yep.
I assume you can't talk about anything there.
No, I think, because the majority of that was shot in London. And so they had a photographer over there, and then they came to Los Angeles and they had, like, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks of additional photography. So I did
the
LA portion, most of it, but I can't talk about that one.
And then the next one you can't talk about, which I'm super interested to is Obi-Wan Kenobi, the miniseries. And that's, I don't know when that, I have no idea when that's, I think they just released a trailer or something like that recently.
Did they? I don't know.
I saw something. I don't remember what it was.
I'm trying to remember. Last I heard, 4th of July is the release date for that one.
For the show or for the trailer?
For the show.
For the show. Okay.
Yeah. So.
I'm in the middle. I just started watching
Book of Boba Fett.
So I just started that. So.
Yeah. Same.
It's on Disney Plus. They have something on, like, a sneak peek of the Obi-Wan where it's just like Ewan McGregor talking about, you know, getting back into the role or something like that. Okay. I think is what it is. Yeah. Okay. Like a minute.
Gotcha.
Or something like that. So anyways, are you still working on that or is that done?
No, we finished that in September last year. Yeah, we finished.
Were you involved with the entire episodes or can you say anything like that?
Yeah, so it's essentially a mini series. It's a 6-hour movie, pretty much, you know, six part movie. I don't know if they're 8-hour episodes. I was there every day from start to finish.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So there's two photographers. So I was the unit photographer, and then there's a franchise photographer who basically has a studio set up, and they just march everybody through there.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Action figures and, stuff like that. So, it's a whole other, like, I thought Marvel was crazy. Like, Lucasfilm is, they're a whole other level. So
what's that? So what's the experience? I mean, I'm sure it's all awesome, but what do you have to adjust for the Lucasfilm with your works?
I think it's just, I mean, coming out of the Marvel world, it wasn't really, it's kind of still family. It's all under the Disney umbrella, you know, and they're just, I mean, I don't know my Marvel friends of his, but they're a little tighter on security. Like they run a really tight ship. Like, you know, it's give them content every day kind of thing. But the amount of security on set is more than I've ever seen on any Marvel movie. You know, I mean, we were shooting on sound stages for most of that. And, you know, there's at least a security guy at every door. There's a 2 or 3 on set at all times. And if you don't have the proper credentials to take photos, then, you know, you need to get it sorted and get them if you need them, you know, so, which I appreciate, you know, because it keeps people from leaking stuff, even though it still happens. Not so much on the Star Wars stuff, I don't think, but they're super tight as far as the security and you know, how everything's monitored and controlled. So
Yeah, definitely understandable. I mean, those are gigantic franchises. I mean,
yeah, and I really appreciate that as a viewer too, because I miss like the days when I was a little kid where you, if you were lucky, you got to see a trailer maybe like 2 weeks before the movie came out.
Right.
Like, I don't want to know what's going on like 6 to 12 months before it comes out. I mean, I like to be surprised. I like to see the movie and experience it. You know, I don't need to know what color sneakers Tom Holland's wearing. You know, I mean, it's just, it blows my mind, like the amount of just stuff on the internet about all this stuff.
Yep.
I mean, it keeps us all employed, but you know, it's just, it's crazy. So, you know, to not know what's going on and, you know, even for them to hide a lot of the secrets from the viewers, I think is really cool. And I think secretly the viewers appreciate it too, especially the fans.
Yep. But,
you know, it's just that they're just rabid, man, for content. It's nuts.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and they've got it down, but I really think that going into this movie, such as the Spider-Man movie, and just having your mind blown. And then after the fact, you go online, you read about all these little hidden Easter eggs and things like that, that you're like, oh my God, I didn't even catch that. And then you get to go back and kind of watch it again. All that stuff's awesome. Because
you're buying another ticket, man. You're going back, you know? I think my son's seen it 3 times already. So, you know, it's pretty fun.
How does that affect you? I mean, because you are involved with it. So obviously, are you still, like, when you go watch Spider-Man, are you still surprised? Are you like, oh, I kind of knew this was happening, or I had no clue on that?
I mean, you have an overall idea of what's happening. And like I said, a lot of the scenes that we shot were only partial sets, or, you know, and the rest was CG. So, yeah, I'm just as surprised, you know. And we don't shoot it linear, you know. It's all out of order.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then, so to see the final cut with the music and all the visual effects, it was really cool. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, the first time we saw it, to watch it with, like, there were true fans there because they screamed and clapped at all the right parts, you know. And so it was kind of cool to, you know, to see that, you know, we kind of did it right and people were excited about it.
I could watch the certain section of the movie like all day long when the certain individuals are together for the first time talking.
Yeah.
I can just watch that banter all day long.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, you know, and we shot a lot of stuff that didn't make it into the movie. And there were stuff that was shot after the fact. Like, I think they did a couple weeks of reshoots because they had pieces that they needed to fill this cut or that cut. And I wasn't involved for any of that. So there were a couple things in there that I hadn't seen. So that was kind of cool too. So, but yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, there's so many people involved in that, from pre-production to post-production. It's just kind of cool to see the final product, you know?
So, what was the last production you worked on, or can you even say?
Yeah. I mean, it was in New England. I did a Hocus Pocus 2.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. I can't talk about that one either, but that was the last production I did. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
When it's time for you, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, when you need to just take a break and cleanse your palate, what's your hobbies besides this stuff?
Oh, man. You know, I just, right now I'm kind of in the mode of just kind of chilling and taking care of business around the house. You know, there's a honey-do list never goes away.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when you're on location, hanging out with my kids. You know, my son and I like to surf. So we surf. That's kind of like my main hobby, I guess. And just, you know, hanging with the dogs and my daughter, we go do stuff when she has time. And that's kind of it, really. I don't have much of a social life. Most of my friends are in the industry, and you know, you work with them all the time, and it's kind of like a second family. And it's kind of weird, but I don't have too many friends outside of the industry anymore. And I'm never around, you know?
Right.
So it's hard enough to maintain some sort of family life.
Yeah.
That, I don't do much with other people. I kind of sound like an old hermit, but you know, I'm just kind of all about, you know, the surfing and just kind of hanging out at home. I like to watch the History Channel and National Geographic, and or catch up on movies, or, you know, and just kind of decompress.
What are you watching right now for, you know, series and all that stuff? Anything specific?
Oh, man, I'm such a nerd. I'm really into Curse of Oak Island. I don't know. Oh, that's like my thing right now. I'm just into like history and treasure. And that's probably carried over from the Indiana Jones days as a kid, you know, that kind of stuff. But anything like history related, you know, whether it's world history or U.S. history. I got into this show too. It's like houses with history. It's like some guys in New England that go around and repair houses from the 1600s. I just think it's really cool. You know, I don't know. You know, or paranormal stuff. I'm kind of like into that as well. So,
well, I can certainly relate to a lot of those things. I also have a 20-year-old daughter. However, I never see her anymore. She's often living her life now. So, I am a huge Indiana Jones fan. And I, you know, I belong to a lot of the message boards and you know, when it comes to spoilers and everyone's, oh, they were filming this day and that, and this is the jacket he's wearing on this day and it's got a bullet hole here. And I'm like, come on guys, you're ruining it.
I know. I don't look at those either. I mean, no matter if it's going to be any good or not, I still will watch it.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm such a fan. I've got, I carry this by my desk all the time.
So, nice. Yeah. That's great.
Do you have any, you know, was there a favorite movie or set that you were working on that stands out at all or show or whatever?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, there's definitely a lot of them. I mean, more recently, I guess, I mean, Spider-Man for sure, not because of its success, but just, the crew is like the best you can get. Like everybody's on the top of their game. The cast was some of the nicest people that I worked with across the board. And that just makes for such a great experience, especially when you're with them for 6 months, you know?
Right.
That just, to me, makes all the difference. I did a lot of like scary movies with this director, James Wan. Like James is a favorite. His sets are really challenging. But creatively, he's really involved in every aspect of it, even with what I do, you know, and I think I've done 4 movies with him. And so his sets they're tough and they're long hours, but they're just a lot of fun and he's great. And I just love doing them. And so there's a lot of them for different reasons, but the older I get, it's more about just being with nice people. You know, good people that click and you guys get along and everybody's kind of there to make the same thing, you know, and to me, that's what it's all about. Honestly, I don't really care if they're great movies anymore, as long as they're fun to work on. I mean, we definitely look at them differently. You know, when you're working on something that's going to be really cool, and you know, when you're working on something that's going to be total shit, but if it's fun, then to me, that's all that matters, you know, and I probably have more crappy movies on my resume than good movies, but you know, like I said, it changes over time, you know?
So sure.
That's, I just want to be around good people.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, I mean, you've got a lot wide variety of work and styles and all that stuff with the people you work with and all that stuff. Yeah. The, you know, from my experience, in filmmaking again, is just as a, you know, low budget to no budget filmmaker, stuff like that. I find that being on set and working with people for a period of time, especially people you really are, you know, gelling with, and you guys got a system and everyone's really enjoying, you know, hanging out and stuff like that. I find after that, when it's done and I go back home and I'm like, thank God I'm here to be with my family. I also have this, like, I don't want to say depression, but there's this sort of attachment that I'm missing my other family now. Is that something that you have to deal with on somewhat of a, like the constant up and down of, all right, I'm in this bubble for X time and now I'm pulled out of that bubble type of thing?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I don't think it's definitely not for everybody.
Sure.
And I always joke, you know, like with my wife, it's like when I get off of a job, I'm coming back into their world.
Yeah.
Like they have their routine and it takes me like a couple weeks to adjust to their life, you know, because I haven't been around. So I don't know, what time we're feeding the dogs and I'm feeding them this now. And, you know, this person needs a ride here or has this going on. And you're just like, whoa, you know? So I think it's really hard to kind of, you know, get back into civilian life, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you never know when you're going to get pulled back out of it, you know? Yep. So we've made it work. And, you know, we've always tried to schedule our family vacations over Christmas break, because I know there's no work for those couple weeks.
Yep.
Obviously with COVID, things have been different, you know, but that was kind of always our thing. Cause the minute you plan like a summer vacation, I'm going to get called for a job, you know, which is okay. Cause then they can come, you know, if it's during the summer. But yeah, I don't even know if I answered your question, but yeah, it's tough. It's really tough to try to maintain both of those, you know, and I think it's tougher when you're on a project, if you're away from home.
Yep.
And it's like a horrible project, you know,
yep.
You're like, okay, I'm strictly here for the money, you know, and you just want to kind of power through it and get back home. You know, I mean, it's different. Obviously, if it's a really fun project, it's kind of bittersweet. Like you always want it to end, you know, like your best day is like the first day and the last day, you know what I mean? No matter what it is, and it, you know, it all has to come to an end. But sometimes it's bittersweet, but yeah, I think you really just, I try to definitely take into account the family time more, you know, like I was offered a job right after Christmas or some work. And I said, no, and I'm not going to do it because I haven't been home. I rescheduled this to the family. I need to do this. We're going to hang out.
Yep.
And you just kind of have to put your foot down. And I think it's harder probably for younger people or people that are newer to turn down work, but the phone will always ring again, unless you're a total hack, you know, maybe not, but there's always going to be another job, you know. Yep. And it took me a really long time to kind of try to find that balance of, you know, you don't have to say yes to everything, you know. And, you know, I turn down jobs, even if it's like, you know, slightly less pay than what I'm used to, you know. Yep. If I'm not feeling it, and, you know, then I don't do it, you know. Yep. I can't always be that selective, but I'm trying to be, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any plans or anything that you want to achieve in the next couple of years? Are you looking to try other things or anything like that?
No, I mean, I think I'm pretty content with what I do for a living, you know, and my job function. I think if anything work-related, like I said, is just to really, I would love to get to a point in the next 5 years where I can be like really selective on what jobs and not only the types of projects, but be in a place financially where you can, you know, oh yeah, I don't have to take every single job, you know, or I want to take a couple months to hang out with the family and go somewhere or just chill around the house. You know, I would love to be more like that down the road.
Nice.
But as far as like accomplishments on them, I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm happy when people call me, you know? So if I'm vertical and I can keep working as long as I can, I'll be happy with that. So
nice. Yeah. So where do people go to find and see your work? Where are you on social medias? I mean, I know you're on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah. Instagram's pretty much it, you know, that's where they can, you know, see what I'm doing as far as work. And, yeah, really. I mean, my website, which is kennedystills.net, but it's the same stuff that's on Instagram pretty much. Okay. Now.
And what is your Instagram? What's your
at title? Kennedy Stills.
Okay. At Kennedy Stills on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your website, I mean, you've got some awesome, awesome photos in there. For example, just the Spider-Man note. I mean, you've got some cool, cool stuff. I mean, I don't want to say anything, but I mean, just looking at, I mean, I'm looking at the shot of Tom with the camera and the boom operator over his head and stuff like that. I mean, it's just so cool to see this stuff in the behind the scenes shots. And I'm assuming as I'm looking through this, I see, you know, you see Spider-Man on top of a car, you see Doctor Strange in the background. I'm assuming your shot, oh, that's from Entertainment Weekly. I'm assuming your shot can go out to marketing places such as Entertainment Weekly and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of times people like Entertainment Weekly, they'll kind of have like an embargo, or they'll have a first look deal with the studio for whatever film it is.
Yep.
So they'll get the first. I think they were the first ones to release images.
Yep.
For Spider-Man, and you know, and then after they have it released for a week or whatever, then everybody else can kind of pick it up. So
yeah, and these are all to me, they look spoiler free. So
you they don't are. Have to worry I about mean, I don't know if and when they'll ever release the spoilery images.
Yeah,
I mean, at some point they have to. I mean, people are going to want to see stuff, but probably not. Yeah. As long as it's making money in the theaters, I don't think they will, you know?
Yeah, probably not until DVD type of the home video.
Yeah, thing. Probably yeah. once it's like done its journey around the planet, you know,
yep.
picked up as many coins, then they'll maybe release some more stuff. So,
and you know, again, this, I mean, I'm looking at the Black Panther. Some of these shots are just incredible with the sunset and silhouetting of some of these shots. You know, and Chad, did you get to hang out with Chad much?
I mean, a little bit. He was quiet. You know, I did three movies with him. So he was just a really kind of, you know, quiet, just the sweetest guy. You know, yeah, we would talk and, you know, I mean, we had some nice conversations and he's just a really, but I'm not that guy too that needs to be like best friends with the actors. I kind of just try to let it happen naturally. You know, and obviously as you do projects together, you kind of build up a rapport, and he was just a sweet dude. Yeah. So.
Well, I highly recommend everyone go check out. And that's the shot you was talking about with Tom looking over the balcony or whatever into the, it's right on your front page there.
Yeah. The Russian poster. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I highly recommend if you want to see some cool photos, go check out your site.
I appreciate it.
These are cool. I'm going to assume you cannot sell any of these prints.
No, I wish.
They would be some great prints to have on the wall. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now we're definitely, you know, hired guns.
Yeah, so understood.
The studio owns everything, but it's okay. And, you know, that's, I guess, you know, people ask me, aren't you bummed that people don't know who you are? And I'm like, not really. I mean, I'm happy with what I'm doing. And I mean, when you think about it, I think probably unit photographers are probably some of the most well-seen images around the world than any other photographer. They just don't know who we are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like a ghostwriter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I don't want any kind of fame or anything, but it is nice to get photo credit though. Which we don't always, you know, it kind of blows me away sometimes that they don't give us photo credit. So,
yeah. I'm assuming you will see your work all over the place in many variations and people making things out of them and all that stuff.
Oh yeah. It's crazy. And then, you know, a lot of times actors will repost our photos and it just kind of makes me giggle because, like, you know, maybe like if it's Tom, he'll repost a photo that I took, you know, and I'm not asking him to give me credit. I don't care. But then somebody else will pick it up and they say photo by Tom Holland. I'm like, well, he couldn't take it. He's in it. You know, it's just kind of, it is what it is.
It's like the same. Yeah.
I got paid and people are enjoying the images and that's really all that matters. So,
you know. With social media, it's so hard. Yeah. And this is the same thing that in the music industry as well. So I'll take shots for specific, you know, venue or article or band or whatever. And then someone in the band will reshare it. And then someone else, you know, it's the same exact scenario. Just all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's everyone's, you know, not ringtone, but background wallpaper or whatever. I'm like, you know, and no one ever says, hey, this was taken by so-and-so or anything like that. So,
yeah.
It's across the board.
It really is. But my friends and I will do that for each other. Like if somebody will post it, we'll tag the guy that we know took the photo on there. And sometimes it matters. Sometimes it doesn't. But
it is
what it is. Yeah.
Yep. So. Well, I can, you know, this has been a really, really awesome for me episode to be able to talk to you and see all this stuff and learn about your experiences. And, you know, like I said, these images are really, really cool. I highly recommend people check them out. Dude, I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight.
No, man, my pleasure. I appreciate it. It was good to chat for sure.
And, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe in the next year or two, when you have a few other of these things that are out, we can physically talk about it. You can come back. We can talk about some of those other ones too.
Yeah, I'd love to. And if I'm ever out in New England again anytime soon, I'll hit you up.
Awesome. Well, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Definitely let me know. Hey, thanks for watching our episode with Matt Kennedy. We hope you enjoyed it. You can check out this episode and many other episodes on our YouTube page, on your favorite podcast location. Just search for Tales from the Pit Photo and on talesfromthepit.net. We'll see you next time.